Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the relationship between the individual and the collective, between man and the society that he lives in. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Yael, please. Yeah. In recent years, we're talking a lot about human rights, and I heard you many times say that the individual and the collective are equal. And we'd like to understand the relationship between the individual and the collective in society. What is the place of the individual in society, the place of the collective in the individual? How are they equal? And I'd like to start with the question of, in what way are the individual and the collective equal, the way you see it? All that an individual is that he is a part of society and acts to its benefit. And the collective is no more than a collection of individuals that are a part of that collective, that form that collective. And so what follows is that they're equal by their specific gravity. That even if you have 1,000 individuals, the way each of them is being treated, this is actually the degree of the collective. Again, please. That the collective is measured according to its individual parts. Here we're talking about the collective and the individual in a corrected society that wants to exist in the right and correct way. And then the collective and the individual are equal. We can't say that for the sake of the collective, we can now kill 1 million individuals, like it already happened in history. But to the extent to which we care for the individual, to that extent we care for the collective and vice versa. And therefore, each and every individual is extremely important, as important as the collective. Where does this come from? It comes from the general system of all the individual souls that all exist in one general soul called Adam. And this system of Adam is a closed system. It's whole and complete. And there's no such thing there as a redundant individual, or maybe that some individual is lacking, missing. But everyone is as important as everyone else and as the entire collective. Because in a whole and complete system, if even one individual is missing, then the entire system is flawed. And therefore, in terms of the equality of the individual and the collective, there's the same attitude toward the individual and the collective. It's not that we relate to a single individual as, he's just one, we have another 100 million. No, he's as important as the 100 million. We have to understand that this is spiritual behavior in a spiritual society, and let's hope that we'll advance to that. If we look at our society today, where are those points, or what are those points, where we have the biggest deviation? Precisely in that, in the lack of equality, in the lack of appreciation from the individual to society, to the collective, and from the collective to the individual, that I could disregard some shoemaker from some remote place and really appreciate some professor in the university, that for me there is a difference between some Einstein or some drifter. So you're saying that, first of all, we disrespect certain individuals from the collective. We appreciate people according to what seems to us as important or non-important. And this is how we breach the equality between them, that everyone's equal, and besides everyone being equal, the whole is equal to all of its parts. 100 million equals one. Okay, this is something else. Before that, I want to ask about the way we appreciate people, we consider people. You're saying that if we weigh people correctly, everyone weighs the same, have the same importance. It doesn't matter if he's a professor or doesn't matter who and what he is. Could be the biggest criminal that really, like we say, there's no place for him in this world, that we think that there's no place for him. Right. And the most enlightened person that does only good to mankind. You gave a very extreme example here of someone who harms society, the biggest criminal that as if only harms everyone and everything, and the biggest inventor that gives the world only good and so on, creates a cure for cancer. Right, how could that be? And the other one, he gives society cancer. Right. This how it is? Because both of them are human beings. I'm speaking in terms of both of them being human beings, and therefore both of them are equal. Equal how? In that both of them are human beings, and they were created equally by nature, by the upper force. You said that each individual is as important as the collective, and there's no one who's redundant or missing. Meaning, if we take out that criminal that gives everyone cancer, if we take him out of the system, you're saying that something will be missing. Right. If you can explain this a bit, because to me it sounds irrational. You think that he is not performing the correct actions in society, that he's destroying society? This is how it seems to me. So I'm telling you that he does the right things for society, that probably until society corrects itself, there are such people in it that give it cancer, that give society cancer, cause it harm, that this harm eventually will give society the intellect, the emotional understanding, and the strength to take care of itself in order not to have these kinds of people. It's not that they clean themselves of these people, suppose they kill them all or even put them in prison. That's also incorrect. But they clean themselves, they correct themselves so that such people will not come to society, that they won't be born. That there are considerations here that it's hard for us, that are hard for us to see, but when we look at the system in general, eventually it brings us to the correct development. There is nothing redundant in the world. There isn't. And we need everyone. And the most harmful thing has to exist in society until society takes care of itself, corrects itself in such a way that this harmful thing becomes good. Okay, so there is a process that society has to go through. Yeah. Okay, another thing you said is that all the parts are equal to the whole, if you can explain this. This is a bit more complicated to explain because it's not about a million people being equal to one person. This is what you said. I'll try to explain. If we, millions of people, can give up, concede one person, then we can also give up on ourselves. We don't appreciate ourselves. We don't appreciate man. We disrespect the general law, rule that controls us all. That's showing us that we ourselves are not ready to keep the general law of creation, that all of us have to advance in our correction. And if we throw someone out instead of correcting ourselves and then this way to correct him, in the correct attitude toward him, then all of us are unworthy. The entire million. Each individual has a significance of his own in this general system, structure, an essence, of course. What's unique about each and every individual? Each person has to be everyone else's guarantor, has to care for everyone, is responsible for everyone, and then such a society will be as one man. And they have the force of one man. And then it'll treat each and every individual as the collective. And that's called the individual and the collective are equal. You're talking about the quality of connection between the individuals in that system and the mutual responsibility that we feel towards each other. I want to summarize just to see what I understand. You said that nature created all of us equal. And in terms of the system of creation, all people are the same, are equal. There can be no one that's missing, because then the system is lacking, there can be no surplus, everything's perfect. This I understand. Another thing you said is that in the corrected social state, meaning in a corrected society, this how society will relate to each of its parts, to each individual, just like nature created us perfect. Now, let's look at our situation today. Today, people are unequal totally. Society does not treat everyone with appreciation, respect. We're very far from that. In the reality that we're experiencing today, still, on part of the system of creation, on part of nature, are we really all equal, even though that we don't treat each other this way and society doesn't treat the individuals in it this way? The equality that exists at the essence of nature, does it influence the way we behave today, even though that we're not that way at all? Yes. How? We're being harmed. Harmed. How? To the extent to which we're different from that ideal form that we're supposed to be in. What kinds of harm? In everything. Health, relations in the family, our inability to succeed, the lack of understanding of where we exist, that we're disconnected from the true reality. The true reality is that is where we're all equal by nature, yes. Meaning that both our behavior toward each other or the behavior of the individual toward the collective or the collective toward the individual, all the mistakes that we're doing in relation to the way that we were supposed to be, this gap is the intensity and the variety of the harm that we experience in life nowadays? Yes. Then why did nature create us this way? It's absurd. In order for us to correct ourselves. And then we'll understand the gap between the worst states, where the collective and the individual are opposite to each other, to a state where the collective and the individual are equal. Can you explain this? The collective and the individual being opposite to each other, it's the egoistic nature where everyone separates himself from society, thinking that he is the greatest and caring only for himself. This is the natural inclination. Natural egoistic inclination, and we have to reach a state which is above this egoistic nature, to a state where the collective and the individual are completely equal, where I think about everyone the same as I think about myself, where there's no difference between me and others. We're all equal in equality, connection, and love. So there's a natural process of development here. This what you're describing, tell me if I understand this correctly. By what force of nature are we developing that you're saying that it's natural? I just want to see if I get it. On the one hand, you're saying that there is everyone's desire to care only for themselves. On the other hand, there's the natural structure in which everyone's equal. that if we remove all the deviations and the wrong things that are going on, this what we'll discover, that this is the true structure, and there's a gap between the true structure on the one hand where everyone's equal and we're all one whole. And on the other hand, you're saying that I'm only looking at myself naturally. So how do these two things go hand in hand, or how do they coincide? What two things? The one is that naturally this is how the structure of reality is, that we're all equal and that we're all one whole. This is how it really is. This is how it's going to be. What do you mean it exists? Where does it exist? Okay, this is how it's going to be. And now we're in a place where we see the very opposite. Yeah, where the collective and the individual are not equal. Everyone wants only for themselves and they don't care about anything or anyone else. What will be the process that will bring us from here to there? Two ways. Either through good and nice development or through not so good and nice development, a bad kind of development through blows. But we have to develop to such a state where everyone lets go of their personal individual ego and accepts the desire and the need of society the way he accepts his own needs and desire. It's not natural. It's not, of course. So why do we have to develop to an unnatural place in order for everyone to feel good? For everyone to be equal. What do I care about us being equal? Until we'll all be equal in society, there will always be such forces that will want to cheat you, con you, so much so that they'll want to kill other people, to completely get rid of people, destroy society. Nature created us with a natural inclination to care only for ourselves. Totally. So why am I expected to reach some kind of an anti-natural development? Because this development. Why? So that you, intellectually and emotionally, will reach a decision that this is the best possible state and that you'll use all of your forces in order to build this good state. It's like a kind of puzzle that I have to solve on my own. Yes, in order for you to choose that I want to be that way. Say, in our body, in my body, there are many organs and so on. Inside my body, this law that you're talking about where the individual and the collective are equal, does it apply to my body? Inside a healthy body? Sure. And it's expressed in what way? That each and every part is important, even though that there are more important and less important parts, but the body cares for them all. It cares for them all equally to the extent of the importance of each and every part. Not how important that part is, but how important is its existence to the entire body. The heart in and of itself isn't important, but because it serves the entire body, this is why it's the most important part of the body, according to the measure of its importance to the entire stature. And you're saying that society has to develop to such a degree where they will live according to the principle of the collective and the individual are equal. What will society be like then? It will relate to each and every one to the extent to which that person contributes to society. If he contributes as much as the heart does, he'll be treated as a heart. If he contributes to society like your little finger, this is how he'll be treated. And an individual, how will he feel in such a society? That he is being treated correctly. Correctly meaning how? That he is as important as an individual within the collective. Again, because he's being treated correctly. He's being treated precisely in the right way, like an integral part of society. And what will that do to him? That he will want to contribute more and more to society. Why? Because correspondingly, he'll get more respect, he'll be more important. How will he feel toward the other individuals in that society? He'll be in competition with them. What kind of competition? Who contributes more to society? Is competition something good or destructive? Depending for what? If it's to the benefit of society and everyone enjoys it, then it's something good. In terms of the individual, does it contribute or destroy? It develops the individual. Let's go back to the basic laws. The individual and the collective are equal. They're equal how? You just described a state of inequality. There's competition. Everyone's appreciated according to their contribution to society, like the heart that's more appreciated than the pinky. So where's the equality here? The heart and the pinky, are they equal? Can you cut off the pinky? Yes. And the heart? No. So what are you asking about? So in this future corrected society, as you call it, then everyone will be treated according to the extent to which they contribute to society. So how are they equal then? That everyone is being treated accordingly. But where's the equality? That a person is treated exactly according to what he's worth. According to his contribution? Yeah? So, according to the measure of truth, the extent to which he's important to society and the extent to which society is important to him. In the beginning of our discussion, you said, and in that we're equal. In that what? In that everyone is treated according to the extent to which he contributes to society. But someone's a pinky and someone's a heart, so they're not equal to begin with. This is a different question. This is a different question altogether. We'll talk about that. It's not for now. But where's the equality here? This I don't understand. You think that equality is that everyone will receive because he is a human being. You have two eyes, a nose, ears, so you deserve $200. And he has the same, another $200. Incorrect. Incorrect. Everyone gets according to the measure to which he contributes to society, and in that, everyone's equal. Okay, so if that finger carries its role out correctly, and the heart does too, both of them have actually contributed the same to the system, and they're equal. Yes. Everyone has to realize their role. This what you mean? Yes. And the equality is in the realization of the role? Yes. And it doesn't matter what role I have, big, small. Everyone's born the way they are. Now, the question is, if I was born as a little finger, and he was born as a heart, right? And he functions 100% as a heart, and I function as a finger 100%, what he deserves, and I deserve, we get. And even though that he's the heart, maybe he performs worse than the finger, then he'll get less than I do. So this is where the lack of equality is. Yeah? Relatively. Okay. Now, can you describe in such a society where all these principles you taught us about, suppose they're kept, maybe not to the full extent, on the minimum level, how does a person in such a society feel? What does he feel that I don't feel today? There you talked about competition in terms of contributing to society, where every individual tries to realize himself completely in doing good to others, to the collective. In such a society, what does a person feel? What will his day-to-day life look like? He gets up in the morning, what does he think about? What problems does he have? What does he experience that we're not familiar with? He feels free. You know what kind of feeling that is? You don't. I don't. What does it mean to feel free? He feels good in society. He feels like a baby on his mother's arms, even like an embryo that feels himself inside his mother. What could be better than that? Protected, being treated nicely, not having to worry about anything, thinking only about others. Everyone treats him favorably, and he treats everyone favorably. He understands everything that's going on in the world. He feels it through society. He lives the life of the so-called next world. What does he enjoy in life that I'm not familiar with today? He enjoys the generality of society, everything that's revealed in society, everything that society enjoys, he enjoys too. Can you give me an example? I don't know. Each and every moment there are different things happening in society, pleasant things, because everyone's like in heaven, doing only good things to each other. And he feels it, because he's connected with everyone in heart and soul. And he feels all these things passing through him. Only pleasure. What makes him happy? That society is developing all the time and is every time filled more and more with beautiful things. And he sees this and that, and everyone's enjoying ever more, feeling more. And joy is filling everyone, and this is what he feels. And it what makes him happy or sad? Happy, of course, but they're enjoying themselves, not him. No, everyone's connected. Everyone's connected in one system. So you feel everyone's pleasure? Of course. And he has the vessels by which he can feel everyone's pleasure. Meaning that everyone's enjoying and he's experiencing the pleasure of the entire collective. Meaning he doesn't enjoy only his own pleasure. No, he doesn't enjoy as an individual, but only what the collective enjoys. And this is called the general and the particular, or the individual and the collective are equal. So it's a completely different, opposite world. Yeah? So, in that world, Oren will experience the same pleasure that I do? Not exactly. Everyone experiences in their particular individual vessels, but for everyone. Amazing! Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.